John's Gospel, chapter 8. We'll begin there this morning. I'd like to speak about the light of the world, the light of the world in a world of darkness. And of course, we're familiar, I trust you are familiar with this passage of Scripture where we will begin this morning. John chapter 8 and verse 12. It's interesting to me that this verse comes after the encounter that Jesus had with a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And you are familiar, I trust, with that account in the Scriptures and how she was brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, caught in the very act, and they brought her and were ready to stone her in accordance with the law of Moses. And they brought her before the Lord Jesus Christ, you recall. What a powerful account that is. And you remember the outcome of that. And the powerful words of the Lord Jesus when he said to them all, the angry crowd that was ready to stone her, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone." Oh, the power of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, too, perhaps, how each one that was there assembled who had come with the intent to stone the woman, they all, to a man, dropped their stones and walked away. And then the Lord turned to her, you remember, said, "Where are thine accusers?" She said, "There are none, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go thy way and sin no more." There's much there for us to see and to consider, but it was right on the heels of that. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more," that we come to this verse. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, this morning, who is the light of the world, and we thank you for the light that he brings to this dark, dark world. The sin-cursed world, we thank you, Father, for the light of Christ. We pray this morning, this beautiful morning, the sun is shining brightly. We thank you for the day that thou hast made, this Lord's Day. We thank you for the cause that brings us together on this Lord's Day, that we might hear the word of the Lord, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we might magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us to do these things, dear Lord, this day. We never feel our feebleness more than when we stand to declare the word of the Lord. So we pray, dear Lord, that you would help us today, that you would give us the leading and the filling and the guiding of your Holy Spirit here this morning, that we might speak your word aright, that we might speak your word clearly. We pray that we might honor thee and we might honor the Lord Jesus Christ here this day. We pray, Father, that you would also open the ears of all who have come, that they might not hear just the words of this preacher, but that they would hear your word, dear Lord, that they would hear every one the sound of your voice, that they would be stirred in their being, moved, dear Lord, by the power of your Spirit and the sound of your voice. Bless us, Father, as only you can do this day. We thank you for the healing that you've manifested. There are many that are in need of your healing touch, dear Lord. Our long prayer list that we have, we commend these needs to thee, but we thank you, dear Father. We thank you that you hear us when we pray. We thank you that you answer so often and bring the necessary and the needed and the sought for healing and comfort. And we pray, Father, thanking you in Jesus' name. Bless our time together, we ask May your people be strengthened in their faith. May lost sinners come to Christ this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a very well-known scripture, at least part of it. If we were to ask a crowd, perhaps even of unbelievers, how many of you are familiar with this statement of Jesus, many would raise their hand and say, oh yes, I have heard that. But what does it mean? What is the import of this statement when Jesus would have us learn something about who he is, what he brings to the world when he tells us, I am the light of the world. And anyone who will follow me shall not walk in darkness, even though the world that we live in is enveloped in a spiritual darkness. And it is increasing in its obscurity of things and truth and morality by the day, it would seem. But Jesus gives us this promise, he that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To fully appreciate, I think, the import and the application of what Jesus has just said to us, I am the light of the world, we must look at some things in the Old Testament Scripture that help us to appreciate and understand the import of what he's telling us. And the first of those would be all the way back to the first book of the Bible. The opening verses of the Bible itself in Genesis chapter 1. And you might turn there if you have your Bible handy, I hope you do, and read those also familiar verses of Scripture. There we see the world in a chaotic state, in a dark state, in a lifeless state, a world that is said to be without form and void. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void, it was empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Oh, how powerful those words. We think about the world to which Jesus came. A world that was enveloped in darkness, a world that was given over to sin, even in the camp of his own people, in the city of God, that was the case when he came. And so John would tell us he came into the world, the light of the world came, and the world perceived him not. He came unto his own received him not. That is the condition of the world as we read it in Genesis chapter 1. And how important and how powerful and how wonderful and how transforming it was to that world that was without form and that world that was void and darkness was on the face of the deep and it was empty and it was lifeless, but God changed it. And the first order of business was to bring light into the darkness. And we can learn much of the power of what Jesus said when he came into this world and he said, as he came into this dark world enveloped in sin and unbelief and ungodliness and immorality and false religion, a world of spiritual darkness. And he said, I am the light of the world. We go all the way back to Genesis 1 to get a full comprehension of the import and the power of that. And the need, we must begin with the light. We can make no spiritual headway. We can make no spiritual progress. We can't begin. Spiritual life cannot begin. We will ever be, spiritually speaking, void, without form, empty, except for the light. Except for the light. I am the light of the world. We must also go to jump from Genesis to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119, the longest psalm in all the collection. And that in itself a statement. Psalms 119 is devoted to one thing. What is that? The Word of the God. The Word of God. The precepts of God. The law of God. The teachings of God. The wisdom of God. The entire psalm devoted to that. And every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a place. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet heads up 8 verses of that psalm. And so every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is included. That also is a picture, a powerful picture of God's Word, its importance. It's a beautiful thing. We don't want to get off on the structure of Psalms 119, although that is a message in itself. But in Psalms 119, in verse 105, we read this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path." And so as we look at these Old Testament scriptures and we contemplate the statement of Jesus in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world," we begin to realize that we cannot separate the light of the world from the Word of God. They go together. They are inextricable. They cannot be separated. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, that His Word is light. His Word is a lamp in a dark world. And in the time that that was written, to go out into the darkness of the city or outside the city even, but even in the city where no electricity was, one better have a lamp, or you were going to be mugged, or you were going to lose your way, or you were going to get tripped up and fall and break your neck. Without a lamp, it was perilous to go out at night. And that's exactly the idea in Psalms 119. Without the light of God's Word, it is perilous to make your way in this dark world. And Jesus is telling us, "I am the light of the world." It is perilous to try to make your way in this world without the light of the world. And you can't have the light of the world without the lamp that is His Word. They're inseparable. Furthermore, as we begin to consider the import and the impact of what Jesus said when He said, "I am the light of the world," we think about Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. This has to do with the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. In the same context as where we have that great verse that you all know, "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." Talking about the Messiah, His coming. But just a verse or two ahead of that, in chapter 9 and verse 2, we read that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light finally shined. What is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ finally coming, the promised seed, the promised one, coming into a dark world, coming into a world that is benighted by sin, that is pictured as the very shadow of death that men are walking in, obscured by the darkness of sin and ungodliness and unbelief. To that world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes, and men see a bright light in a deep darkness. What a beautiful, beautiful set of Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus Christ, of course, well-versed in those scriptures, He Himself being the Word, we must go to those scriptures to fully appreciate all that He would have us understand. "I am that light that Isaiah promised 700 years before He came." He said the people that sat in great darkness would see a great and wonderful and bright light. And indeed, that light came. Malachi in the closing of the Old Testament in chapter 4. And then God went silent for 400 years. 400 years of silence before the Scripture opened up again in the New Testament and the promised one came. 400 years of silence. But before God went silent, He spoke through Malachi the prophet. And this is the promise that is given. "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son," S-U-N, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, what a beautiful thing. Again, a promise of the one who would come and say to a lost and dying world, I am the light. I am the Son of Righteousness. I am the light of the world. I am that great light. I am the Son that was given that men would no longer need to walk in darkness. I am the Word that is a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path. I am the light that brings light into darkness. I am the light that brings life into a void and empty and lifeless spiritual world. I am the light of the world. You know, there are physical truths as well. As we begin, as we try to get our arms fully around what Jesus is telling us about himself. What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me when he said, I am the light of the world? We must also not only look into the Old Testament scriptures and ferret out those references that we just did, a handful of them at least this morning, but also there are physical truths about light that give us great insight into the things that Jesus Christ might have intended for us to understand when he announced to a dark world, a sin-benighted world, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Oh, how important that. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. How important that we keep that word in mind. So often we stop and we say, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah, what a wonderful thing, and move on. We sing a song about it. Jesus is the light of the world. There are many songs about it. The little children sing the song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know that song, don't you, Eli? This little light of mine, well, we need to teach that to you, and that very soon. A child needs to learn the truth that was before us this morning. I am the light of the world. Is it a truth that is yours? Have you owned it by faith in Jesus Christ? More importantly, are you living it? Like Jesus mentioned what he said. He said, it's not enough to believe that I am the light of the world, but to follow me. If you follow me, then you will not be walking in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Think about the physical truths associated with this wonderful statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Can there be life on this planet without light? No, impossible. We saw that briefly when we were looking at Genesis chapter 1. The world was what? Void, empty, lifeless. Much like the moon today. Lifeless, void. Until the light came. God knew that nothing could happen. Nothing could change. Nothing can go forward until there was light. And my friends, when it comes to spiritual life, when it comes to knowing God, when it comes to having the forgiveness of our sins, when it comes to having a relationship with God, when it comes to having a path in a dark and sin-cursed world, nothing happens without the light. There is no spiritual life without the light of the world. Oh, how sad to see so many trying to pursue religion, trying to pursue holiness, trying to pursue their idea of God, but without the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And there is no other religion that leaves out Jesus, the light of the world, that can have any life in it. Amen. None. And that's the import of what he says. I, and I alone, am the light of the world. It's not Jesus and all the others. It's Jesus alone. He is the light of the world. You see the power of what he said. You see the importance of what he said. There is no life without light. There is no spiritual light imparted to you without Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life. Only eternal damnation and darkness and void and emptiness and loss without the light. No life without light. We think about the other physical attributes, the physical things that we can glean from literal light. It's hard to see without light, isn't it? In absolute darkness, it's impossible to see without light. Impossible to see. And so we understand without light, I am the light of the world. We think about how beautiful. Haven't the last few days been beautiful? And what has been a great part of their beauty? The sunshine. And we've had so many gloomy days, so many gray days. And isn't it wonderful the transforming impact of sunlight after several gray and gloomy days? You know, I walk around our place. We've got woods behind the house. And when the sun is shining, even the weeds look beautiful. Everything looks beautiful. All the colors are vibrant and the blue of the sky against the green of all the foliage. Everything is beautiful. But you take that same walk and you take look on that same vista when the skies are gray and it's cloudy and gloomy and there isn't much light and things look drab and they look dreary and they're not very pretty. And all you see are the things that need to be done, the things that are out of order, the things that aren't fixed. Isn't that so? Am I the only one that experiences that? I don't think so. And what do we understand here? That the light is a powerful force that allows us to see beauty, allows us to see clearly. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Without Him, we don't see clearly. Without Him, we don't see the real beauty of God's design. Without Him, we can't see the colors that God has for us. We can't see the breathtaking beauty of His holiness. There's many things that we cannot see without the light of the world. But you know, another thing, light also provides warmth. Haven't you noticed on these chilly days the vast difference of moving out of the shade into the sunlight? Instantly you feel its warming effect, don't you? Warming effect. And so it is with the light of the world. This world is becoming a very cold place. And that seems like an irony because they're talking about global warming, but I'm talking about warmth between human beings. I'm talking about the warmth of love. And Jesus warned, you remember, that when iniquity, when evil is abounding more and more, what happens to love? The love of many waxes what? Cold. Cold. And so again, we come to another physical attribute that gives us some other facet of the power of what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. I am the source of true love. I am the source of the warmth that the world needs. And it's becoming colder and colder. How come? Because people are turning away from the light, turning away from the warmth that is found only in Christ Jesus. Not only that, light cheers us. I'll tell you, there's a vast difference in my state of mind on a gloomy day than on a bright and sunshiny day. It changes my attitude. It changes my outlook. It changes everything. And you string together four or five gloomy days, and you've got a problem. Sunlight is so important. It's so important to our very attitude, our very outlook, our mental state. That's why people have more problems in the north where there's snow and gray for sometimes weeks on end. People become very depressed. People become alcoholics. People become more dependent upon drugs because of the lack of the influence of the sunlight. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. And knowing Him is a life-changing, a mind-altering. Walking with Him, walking in the light of His Word, the light of His life, the light of His countenance, all of those things that we sing about and can talk about it in different ways. But the important point is this, just as the sun alters our state of mind, our emotions, our feeling, our attitude, so Christ, in a positive way, I tell you, there's so much anger in this world today. How come? Because of the light of the world is being turned away from. There's so much anxiety in this world. There's so much mental illness. There's so much drug dependency in this world. There's so many broken homes in this world. There's so many bent relationships in this world. There's so much unfaithfulness in this world. All because the absence of the mood-altering, if you will, effect of the light of the world in the hearts and minds of men. Oh, Jesus said much when he said these simple words, "I am the light of the world." God puts all of these things that we've talked about this morning together in John chapter 1. When Jesus is introduced, you're familiar too, I trust, with these verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice that the Word is capitalized. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And as we've said before, in looking at the Old Testament scriptures, it is impossible to separate Jesus Christ from the Word. And here John puts the two together, the light and the Word. Notice, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, that is the Word, that is Jesus Christ, was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Remember what we said about light and life. In Him, the light of the world, is life. And without Him there is not. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. I am the light of the world, Jesus said, that all men through Him, that is through the light, through Christ, might believe. He was not that light, that is, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's what we want to do this morning, to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And my friends, the world was made by Him, and He was in the world, and He has preached in the world, and we testify Him, but still the world knows Him not. He came to His own, verse 11, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born of not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John beautifully, didn't he, put all of the things that we've talked about this morning together? And he put them together all in one person, didn't he? He put them all together in Jesus Christ. The Word and light and life, put them all together. Jesus Christ. That's where they belong. That's where they are to be found. We cannot separate Jesus from the Word. And how sad it is. So many people try to do that. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't have time for His Word. You cannot separate them. You cannot know Jesus Christ in the fullest way and not spend time in His Word. You cannot know Jesus Christ in the fullness and the richness of who He is as the light of the world and leave your Bible to collect dust on the shelf and not come to the church when it convenes, where the Word of God is our only business, where we study it, where we teach it, where we try to follow it and encourage one another in that endeavor. And so sad it is. And my friends, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And a large part of what He meant by that is the Word. I am the Word. They cannot be separated. And I want to appeal to you today. If you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, and you say, "I love Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." Well, how about His Word? How big a place does that have in your life? How often are you reading God's Word? How often are you talking about God's Word? How often are you assembling with the people of God to hear His Word? How often are you sharing His Word? And there we will find an answer that we might not want to find. We will have a true look at your devotion to the one who went to Calvary's cross and suffered the hand of God's judgment in His own body on that tree so that you could be forgiven of your sins. And you say, I love Him, I believe in Him, but you have no time for His Word. When He says, the Bible says, He is the Word. You cannot separate the two. And how can we know God, the unknowable, the invisible, the eternal one? We read in the Bible that He it is who inhabits eternity. Really? How do you know someone who inhabits eternity? How can you know someone that you cannot look upon, because to look upon Him would be consumed by His holiness? That's why Moses had to be hid in the cleft of a rock, because he couldn't look upon the holy God without being consumed. The only way you can know Him, the only way I can know Him, is through the vehicle of His Word. So when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and we read in Psalms 119 that Thy Word is a lamp and a light unto my feet. And when John opens up and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we understand that we cannot separate, and you cannot separate. And the tragedy of the world that we live in, brothers and sisters, is that there's a lot of people professing Jesus Christ that are trying to separate Him from the Word. You can't do it. But people keep trying, and that's why there are so many lives that are not thoroughly changed, that are not transformed, like we read in Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing, the remodeling of your mind, so that you might know what that good and perfect will of God is. Well, the remodeling takes time. That's what the word means, the renewing. To rebuild, to tear down and rebuild anew. Just like when you remodel your house, you tear it down and build again. And it's a painful process, and it's a time-consuming process. And you can't leave out the hammer, and you can't leave out the nails, and you can't leave out the lumber, and you can't leave out lots of things. And for the renewing of your mind, you cannot leave out the Word of God. And I'll tell you, it grieves me. It grieves me. And you've heard me say before, one of the most encouraging things to a preacher is when he looks out there and he sees hungry faces. He sees thrilled faces. He sees faces that are hanging on every word that is being spoken. And there he can tell that there's a people that is hungry, that loves to hear the Word, that knows that you cannot separate the Word of God from Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and that they want to hear the Word so that they can grow closer, they can know more about Him, that they can follow Him more, that they can walk in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But you cannot separate. And I fear in the world that we live in that the Word of God is being removed from the planet, removed from the hearts, removed from the minds, removed from the schools, removed from the courthouse, removed from the seats of government, removed from the hearts and minds of even those that go to church on Sunday, filling it instead with many other things, none of which can transform. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. How in the world can you follow Him without His Word? Where is He? He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for those who need that intercession like me every day. So how can we follow Him? We must have His Word. And if you're not following His Word, if I'm not following His Word, we're not following Him. If we're not following Him, what are we doing? We're walking in darkness. So what did Jesus mean when He said, you? He turned to His disciples. After saying that I am the light of the world, then He turned to His church. He turned to His disciples. He turned to the handful that had placed their faith and trust in Him. And He said, you are the light of the world. And you're not to put that light under a bushel. You're to set it on a hill for everyone to see. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men will see. See what? See me in you. The light of the world. Oh, how desperate the need. And so let me ask you, what does it mean? If Jesus said, Hunter, you're the light of the world, what does he mean? He said, what he means is that I'm in heaven. When I was here, I was the light of the world. They could see me. They could see my life. They could see the grace and the truth that was in me, carried out in my actions, in my behavior, in my words. But now he says to you, you're the light of the world. You're it. Crystal, you're the light of the world. John, you're the light of the world. Eli, you're the light of the world. Arliss, you're the light of the world. Collectively, Grace Baptist Church is the light of the world. What does that mean? People are to look at us and see the light of life, to see the life of Jesus, to see his word acted out, carried out, not just talked about, but lived about. That's what it means to be the light of the world, that Jesus would be seen in you. And he can only be seen in you to the degree that you are in his word and obeying his word. You see what I said before? We can't separate Jesus from his word. And there's a world full of Christianity that is doing that. I'm not talking about extolling the Word of God. I'm not talking about saying we preach the Word of God. We major on the Word of God. I've got 16 Bibles at my house. I go to Sunday school and I go to morning service on Sunday. I go to evening service and I even go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And that is all wonderful, good, and necessary and important for you to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what it means to be the light of the world. We must go from that to manifesting what we read in God's Word in our life. And then we will become truly the light of the world. You see how important it is for you to come? You see how important it is for you to read God's Word? You see how important it is for you to obey? The world's in the mess that it's in, because it's getting darker. What is darkness? What is the definition of darkness? It is the absence of light. Okay, let's translate. What is spiritual darkness? It is the absence of His Word, and it is the absence of Jesus Christ. Now that ought to send a shiver up every spine here this morning, to realize that we are living in a world where the presence of Jesus Christ is retreating. And what's filling the vacuum? Darkness. Because darkness is the absence of light. There ought to be nothing more important to a child of God than to fill your heart and to fill your head with God's Word, and to take what's filling your heart and filling your head and let it translate itself into how you live and the decisions you make and the places you go and what you want and what you give up and what you sacrifice and what you stand for. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You know, a long time ago in the book of Exodus, before the Israelites were freed from Egyptian bondage, one of the curses that God brought upon Egypt, you remember, was utter darkness. You remember that? Utter darkness. It was so dark you couldn't even see your hand in front of your eyes. It was total darkness. How many of you have ever been down in a cave, down in a cavern? You've been down there. Well, they like to turn the lights out, don't they, when you get down there? And you have never experienced darkness like that, where there was no light, zero light, nothing. You couldn't see anything that close to you can't see it. And that's what happened in Egypt. There was no light all over Egypt, except in one place. The Bible says, but in the dwelling of God's people, there was light. And that's how it's to be. My friends, the world is getting that dark, spiritually speaking. There's to be the brightness of the light of the world in every one of our homes. Is that light there? Is that light there? Are you gathering as a family and reading God's word together? Are you praying together in your home? Is the light of Jesus Christ? He said, I am the light of the world. We do 10,000 other things as a family, but do you gather around the thing that only matters, the thing that can change the eternal destiny of your soul, the thing that can bring light into this dark world? One thing, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he's in heaven, and so we have it in his word. Oh, how important in this dark, dark world. Let your light shine before men. Finally, I want to close. I know I've gone a few minutes over, and I apologize. I shouldn't have to do that, but I feel that I do sometimes. John came to bear witness of the light, that through him, he had one goal, John, one goal, that through his witness, all men might believe in the light. Is there anyone here today that is not saved? Is there anyone here today that would like to be saved? You know, the gospel is called the gospel of light. The gospel of light. It's all about the light. And the preaching of the gospel is how men and women who are lost and without God and without hope and are walking in darkness, that is how they know where the light is and who the light is. It's like a lighthouse on a craggy shore by the ocean side. Oh, how the ancient mariners so depended upon the lighthouse on the shore. And we sing songs about that, comparing that to the gospel. Without that light, they were in great peril, weren't they? To crash their ship on the rocky shoals and be lost forever. And hundreds of ships had that destiny. And enemies would often wickedly move the lighthouse. Or they'd put a light on a horse or a donkey. And they would travel the ridgeline to confuse the captain of the ship. So their enemy ships would be crashed and lost. And all lives would be lost. And that's the idea that is before us. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're in jeopardy of being lost. And the gospel is that lighthouse. It is that beacon of light that shows you the light of the world. John came into the world for that express purpose. He was a witness of the light that all men through him might believe, and in believing they might be saved. What else did John say when he wrote in chapter 1? As many as received him, as many as received the light of the world, to them God gave the power, the authority, the right to be what? The children of God, to be transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, to have their sins erased, and instead to wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son, to be taken from hell to heaven for all those that received him. Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend? Is there anyone here that wants to be saved? Is there anyone that wants to know that you can be forgiven of your sins, that you can be washed as clean as the driven snow? Eli's interested. Eli's interested. You know, I'm thinking about that, how interesting that is to me. Didn't Jesus say, except you become as a little child? Little children, you don't have to twist their arms. You don't have to play games with them. All you have to do is tell them about the light of the world. And they're interested. How sad we grow up. But you know something? Jesus said that the kingdom of God is going to be filled with little children. And I think about all the babies that are being murdered in our country today. What a tragedy that is. But you know something? because Jesus died on the cross. Their Adamic sin has been paid for. And when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, and the only way you're going to get there is if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When you get there, you're going to be amazed at how many children. So if there is an upside to the awful sin that this nation is committing every day, the blood of innocence, just like in the days gone by, when the blood of righteous Abel cried up from the ground unto God, God heard it, heard the cry. Imagine what he's hearing. But if there's an upside to that awful carnage, it is that every one of those innocent children are welcome in his presence. I am the light of the world. Is there anyone here today who would place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? He said, I am the light. There can be no life in you, no spiritual life. You cannot really see the colors the way they are without him. You cannot have life, the real life, the true life, the intended life, and eternal life without him. Come to him today. I am the light of the world. The promise is that whoever receives him, God has given to them, given to you the power to become a child. Won't you do that today? Let's